Chapter 5. The Police Station. Alfie pressed the buzzer outside the police station. It was Emma who came to open the door, dressed in uniform, black trousers, and a white long-sleeved shirt with a black and white checked cravat. Alfie guessed the cravat was clip-on to avoid the risk of being throttled. She must have been to the hairdresser. The neat, dark bob was shorter than last time. She exuded professionalism and authority, and even though he now knew her quite well, he still found her slightly intimidating. "Alfie," she said crisply, with no sign of surprise. "What can we do for you?" There's something I'd like to discuss. A police matter. May I come in?" She stood aside to let him pass, and the door locked shut behind him. He followed her into the small office space, where her hat sat on the desk beside her computer. There was no sign of Sergeant Wilson, for which Alfie was profoundly grateful. Marge always claimed that Emma was the only one to do any work in the station. Emma placed a plastic chair opposite her desk for him. "Take a seat. So, what's this police matter?" "Have you arrested Betty Thorndyke?" This time she did look surprised. "The Bunbury Broadcasting Corporation is working well, I see." "Yes, Betty is currently in custody." "Here?" "Yes." Alfie felt a tremor of discomfort, remembering his own hours in the tiny, foul-smelling cell, thanks to Sergeant Wilson's overactive imagination. And now Betty was stuck there. But was it Emma who had arrested her? "And she's accused of murder." "She's not been accused of anything. She's been detained in connection with an ongoing investigation." "Into Nigel Edwards' murder," he persisted. "What happened? How was he killed?" Emma exhaled loudly.
"Alfie,
you know I can't discuss an ongoing investigation with you, so is there anything else?" She stood up, apparently preparing to escort him out of the building. Alfie stayed seated. "Please, can you just tell me, has she been interviewed?" he asked. "Not yet. Sergeant Wilson was the arresting officer, but he had to go out and will interview her on his return. Look, Alfie, it's always lovely to chat, but I have work to do. What's this about?" He took a breath. "Does she know she has the right to a lawyer?" "Apologies, I'm afraid I must have missed the memo about your appointment to the Independent Office for Police Conduct." She stood to attention, shoulders back, hands at her sides, and spoke as though making an official report. "Miss Thorndyke was arrested in accordance with the Police and Criminal Evidence Act 1984 Codes of Conduct and informed of her rights and entitlements while in detention in accordance with Code of Practice C, paragraph 3.2. This included being informed of her right to free legal advice." Alfie held up a hand to stop her. "Yes, all right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to imply you weren't doing your job properly, but there's something I need to tell her before she's interviewed. Am I able to see her?" Emma sat down again and stared at him in incredulity. "She's in custody on suspicion of murder. No, Alfie, you're not able to see her." "Come on, Emma, I don't care what sort of evidence you think you've got. We both know Betty isn't a murderer." "I've already told you. I can't discuss any of this while we're in the middle. If I can't see her, can I at least get a message to her?" "What sort of message?" Emma was looking very flushed, and Alfie realized he must have offended her considerably by apparently suggesting she did not know how to do her job. That hadn't been what he intended at all. He had better just say what he had come to say, and perhaps the misunderstanding would have been avoided if he'd started with that. "Tell her I'll pay for her legal representation. Or I could write her a note if you've got a bit of paper." Some trick of the light made it look as if Emma's colour had risen further. "She's a lucky lady, with you looking out for her." Alfie shook his head. "Don't you start. Got enough trouble with your sergeant listening to Edith's nonsense and convincing himself that Betty and I are an item. We're friends, that's all." Emma raised her eyebrows. "Are you always this generous to your friends?" "I hope I would always help if I could. I'd certainly do the same for you if you were locked up on suspicion of murder." "Very kind, but I'm not expecting that to happen anytime soon." "I'm pretty sure Betty wasn't expecting it either," said Alfie dryly. "So, can you tell her that I'll organise a lawyer for her?" Emma gave an oblique smile. "You're too late." "What do you mean?" "She's already arranged for a lawyer." Alfie gave an impatient sigh. "I know she's entitled to free legal advice, but I don't want her to have some duty solicitor straight out of law school. I'll get her a proper criminal defence expert." He had no idea who he should hire, but his own corporate lawyers would surely be able to find out. And if Betty had already said she wanted legal advice, she was safe. Wilson wasn't allowed to interview her until a solicitor arrived. He just had to make sure she waited until it was the right one. So could you cancel the one you've called and tell Betty to hang on until I've organised proper representation? He went on. I told you, you're too late. Emma was still smiling her lopsided smile. We didn't have to call the duty solicitor. Betty already knew who she wanted to call, and it certainly doesn't sound like someone straight out of law school. Alfie tried to conceal how startled he was by this information. How did Betty know who to contact? He hoped that Emma and the sergeant didn't think it suspicious that she was insisting on more than basic help. And how could she afford it? Marge made it sound as though she lived in straitened circumstances, and Alfie knew from experience that mediocre lawyers charged a lot, and good ones charged 10 times as much.